Welcome back, everyone. Are you glad to be here today?
Yes. Yes.
So glad.
Well, and everybody listening in, are you ready for the lesson? I'm sure you are. We're going to be sparks. And what is a spark? What did we say is a spark?
A spark is someone who is a leader and who's someone who takes initiative to help lead others.
So let's lead others. Are you ready? We'll lead them on in their English today. How about that?
Sounds good.
I like that.
All right. And we're glad to have you with us today. So I am Doris. I'm going to help lead this lesson here today. But these other people are going to help me.
Lois.
Zach.
Pauline.
And Josh.
And all of you listening out there, get your magazines ready. Open them to pages 38 and 39. And we will continue the lesson on... Spark, what is the lesson?
How to lead yourself and others to greater success.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you all ready?
Let's do it.
You're in the driving seat. Let's go.
Okay. We found out what a spark is, and we found out there's seven things that are important. How many things did we learn yesterday, Pauline?
We learned three things yesterday.
And we've got four coming up. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay, we want to get started on them now. Remember that you want to help other people, but the first thing you have to know is your values, and you have to be credible and accountable. Let's find out what else. Are you ready for number four?
I think I'm ready for number four, okay. But I sure enjoyed the first day, so I'm going to enjoy this even more.
Okay, so page 39 now. Let's read the next four things.
Act with intent. Have a clear vision of your future and take intentional actions to achieve it. Be a service leader. Sparks have an outward focus. They strengthen their teams and build camaraderie by recognizing and meeting the needs of others. Build your confidence. Don't leave your confidence to chance. Take definite steps to build and develop it. Demonstrate consistency. Set a high standard for consistency. Then meet that standard by valuing readiness, persistence, and courage.
Okay, so number four then. What is number four, Zach?
Number four is act with intent.
Okay, what does that actually mean then?
To act with intent is just to have a clear vision of your future, intentional actions to achieve it.
You have to know why you're doing something, huh?
Exactly.
Why did you do that? Do you have a plan and you act because you know what you're going to do?
Right, and whenever I think of act with intent, I think you're confident. What we're going to do, I'm confident to do it, and I'm going to lead you, and you're going to see my confidence.
Have you ever tried to follow people who are not sure what they're doing? If they don't have a clear vision, it's hard to follow them. Isn't that true?
It's very true, and it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly if you're following someone who really doesn't have a good idea of a purpose and how to get there.
Mm-hmm. We think about that, like even in politicians, they say they're going to do something, and then they don't, and what's the plan? And it's hard to know how to follow them sometimes. So we think it's very important to really know what your vision is. What's the next one? That's number five.
So the next one is interesting. It's be a service leader, right? So usually we don't necessarily think of someone leading also being a servant.
Well, you know, there's some books now on servant leadership. It's kind of been a popular title lately, hasn't it? Is there a difference in a servant leader or one who's not? Is there any difference?
Sure, I think that there is some. There's a big difference in that for a leader who is a servant is someone who is going to put the people that they're leading first.
Right. Well, some people, they are leader, and they want everybody to serve them.
Yeah.
But we say, I'm here to serve you. So I'm here to help so you can do your job better. That's different.
Exactly. Some leaders, we say, want to bark orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always think of a servant leader or a service leader as someone that comes alongside you. Because they really want to make you better.
Well, how do they do that there?
So they strengthen their teams and build camaraderie. So camaraderie is it's a big word.
It must be a French word.
It must be a French word.
We do have a lot of long borrowed
French words. Mm-hmm. That's true. And it means when you have a sense of camaraderie, it's a feeling of friendliness towards the people that you work with, but you share experience with. So if you're building camaraderie among a group of people. You're building a sense of friendship and teamwork.
Right. You help others and you consider their needs. Now, in a group, in any company or wherever you work, then you find some people are stronger than others. So you strengthen those who are weak, mm-hmm. and you help each other. And the leader says, I'm here to help you, not just to make you do something.
Sure.
And I think that's a very important thing, is to be a servant leader. Don't you think so?
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I think they actually make the best leaders.
Mm-hmm. So that's very important. So be sure and mark that one down. Well, what's the next one then? What is number six, Pauline?
Number six is to build your confidence.
To build your confidence, how do you do that? You just say, you hope it happens? Can you leave it to chance? Can we?
No.
No?
We can't.
How can you do that?
Well, they're asking you to take definite steps. So these are steps that you take in order to develop and improve your confidence. I know we think of confidence that something that comes naturally to a lot of people, but actually there are things that you can do in order to develop your sense of confidence, and it's that sense of confidence that allow people to put their trust in you.
Well, that's good. Number six is good, but then you think, what are some of those steps? They said to build your confidence, so then let's think about it. What are some steps to you that really build your confidence? Can you think of any? Because, you know, we don't just say the words. We have to think of how to do it, right?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking that a lot of people who know how to do this are people that have gone through injuries or illnesses, and they're getting rehabilitated, and they have to do all these things to build their confidence again. And I think of that literally, they take definite steps.
Sure.
They actually mm-hmm. take the steps they need to take to build their confidence, yes, I can move again, or yes, I can walk again, or...
Well, and just people that have done projects. Let's say you've done a certain project. You've had a youth camp, and it was successful or something. And the more you do the successful, then it builds your confidence, and it builds their confidence. So I think doing things that work help build confidence. If they don't work, you go over it, and you find out why they didn't work, and then you do them again.
Another thing to build confidence is, unfortunately, something that we can't avoid, we can't take shortcuts, is you have to practice.
Yes.
You have to go out there, you have to do those things mm-hmm. that are a little bit of a stretch
you know
for you,
mm-hmm.
and learn how to do them, and then practice them. And the more that you practice, the more comfortable you'll be, and the more confident you become.
Well, I think that's why people like Pauline's in university now. Now you're learning things, and what you learn is supposed to help you do some kind of job, and it should build your confidence. Isn't that right, Pauline?
Yes, that's very right. I also think to build your confidence, you don't be afraid to encourage yourself to take the next step, and even though you fail, to continue to take those next steps.
And failure, you're right. Pauline's right. Failure can eventually build confidence as well.
If you find out what was wrong and
exactly.
do something about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also just so important just to be as practical in this process as possible. Write things down. Type things out on your laptop where you'll see them, or just make a note of it and remind yourself every day of what your
That's
steps
true.
Are.
Review.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get a little help from other people. But you build your confidence by doing things that work, I think.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you have to try. If you don't try, you'll never have any confidence. You say, I can't do that. Did you try it? No. You have to try it. Mm-hmm. And you build your confidence by trying, don't you?
That's right. I remember one great leader had said something to me once, and he said, 50% of the battle is just showing up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Just being there and saying, I'm willing, I'll do it. That's good. So build your confidence. What is number seven then?
Number seven is demonstrate consistency. Set a high standard for consistency, then meet that standard by valuing readiness, persistence, and courage.
Okay, so to demonstrate means to show something, and to be consistent means to always do it the same way, to be reliable. Now, how can you set a high standard for being consistent? You have to have certain values.
Exactly. And you know what? I think as a leader or maybe as a boss, if they know, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to talk to my leader, my boss about this, but she or he is always level-headed, I'm not going to have a problem, because they're always consistent in that character. So
you have to
be ready.
Right?
Yeah, I mm-hmm. want to talk to them about
right.
it.
Well, and the way you demonstrate this is not only to be ready to do things, but you have persistence. Another thing is to say, "Biao Fang Qi," don't give up. To be persistent. It didn't work, so I'm not going to do it. Try it again. Just find out what went wrong. So to being persistent, some people give up too easily, don't you think?
Oh, I think it's very tempting to, when something doesn't go right, to just give up and let it go.
But I tried it, it didn't work.
Exactly. But if you've developed a sense of persistence and you're willing to work through those things, I think it does demonstrate to everyone that you're a type of person that can be relied upon.
And sometimes it's hard to have courage. That's the third thing. And it's hard to be brave, isn't it, sometimes?
It certainly can be, yeah.
You've never done it before, and you say, well, be brave. Well, I think one of the things that keeps us from learning and doing is fear.
Sure.
That's what keeps
mm-hmm.
you from speaking English when you know how. That's what keeps you from doing other things. I know how, but I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So fear is one of the biggest things that keeps us from being successful, I think. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
So you have to be brave. Have courage.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your language, in your
right.
life, what you're working on, don't give up on your family, your kids.
That's
work
right.
on them, whatever it is. Have
yeah.
courage.
I always look at those people in the UK. They seem to keep on no matter what. They
no matter
always
what happens,
do.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
So those are the four. Let's just mention now. Let's just say them one by one. Number one was?
Know your values.
Number two?
Earn trust and credibility.
Number three?
Be accountable.
Four?
Act with intent.
Be a service leader.
To build your confidence.
Demonstrate consistency.
Wow. That's seven good points. And read over them. Keep your articles out and mark them. And maybe put a yellow pencil on there and go through and say, am I doing this? So these are very useful lessons for our life, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. They certainly are.
Well, do you want to have some personal stories on this? Let's read the next paragraph.
Personal stories. For each behavior, the authors offer a short series of imperatives to guide readers in achieving and maintaining the essential behavior. For example, to stay true to their values, Sparks must 1. Identify the values that are most important to them. 2. Maintain a support group of advisors and mentors who can offer feedback and guidance. And 3. Remain vigilant and aware of when they might compromise those values.
Now, the author of this book gave us a short series of things that he calls imperatives. Imperatives are things that you must do. They are imperative. Let's say that word, imperative.
Imperative.
It's imperative. You must do that. So it's not a matter of choice. Maybe I could, maybe. No, you have to. Have to's. And they will help you achieve and keep up this behavior. So they give you some examples here. What's number one?
Well, the first example is to talk about the first essential behavior, the know your values, and that Sparks must identify the values that are most important to them.
Okay, so is it important for you to be trustworthy? If it's not, you might not be a good leader. So you have to know what they are. You have to identify them, right?
Right.
What's the second one, Lois?
Second one says, maintain a support group of advisors and mentors who can offer feedback and guidance. I think when I think of that, your support group of advisors and mentors, they have to be able to talk to you honestly. And you have to be able to receive that from them. And that's where constructive criticism comes in again. You have to be able to receive constructive criticism from your support group of advisors and mentors.
So you need to keep people that you can consult with, that can help you. And I think we all have people we ask certain things because we know they're reliable. And we don't want to ask people who are not consistent and change it all the time, do we?
Exactly.
So that's kind of important. What do you think of that point? Is that a good?
Yeah, it's a great point, and it makes me think about even just previously mentioned, we talked about accountability.
Mm-hmm. That's true, right? Well, and then to remain vigilant. Vigilant just means to be like being on duty and be aware, because if something comes up and you say, I wonder if that's really good with my values, you have to think about it. If you're not aware of it, it might, all of a sudden you're finding, oh, I'm not being very honest, or I'm not being something very helpful. So you have to kind of watch out yourself, don't you? And these articles might help us be vigilant. What do you think?
I think so. I think that is one of the challenges about having good values, is that it is possible, if you lose sight or are not really thinking about them in a consistent way, that you can find yourself doing things that aren't actually what you would consider to be a good example of the values that you're striving for.
So this is very important. If you're going to join this group, Spark, and you want to be a Spark, then they say, well, we have to be sure that we do these things. And I think they have a good point here. Don't you think so? Good points?
Yes, they certainly do. And they really do want to give us guidance, and we need that.
Mm-hmm. And you can just see by the picture down here they have on this photo that they all look very positive and smiling. And when you look at them, you think, those would be good people to guide me. They have that confidence look. Don't you think so in the photo?
They definitely look very confident in the photo.
So that's what they teach. And I've never heard about Spark before. Had you heard about it?
I had never heard about it. But as soon as I started reading the first paragraph and a half, I thought, I want to continue on this.
See, this is why in advance we try to bring things up that we learn that are new, and we want to share them with you. So it's not just language, but it's ideas. That's why we call Advance Your Window on the World. And this is a good thing on leadership, because everybody has to be a leader of somebody, your family or your group. And, you know, we all need to be good leaders, don't we? Followers and leaders. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think so much of just how we relate to people is that we are relational. And so it's always so important to have guidance, to have leaders in your life.
That's true. It's good to have mentors, people that you see have succeeded, and you listen to them, and they help you too.
Right.
So you can be one, and you can also have some that are your own. So this is a very useful speed review, I think, of this book. You don't have to read the whole book now because you've read the speed review of it, and that's what's good. We don't have time to read a lot of books, and if they're in English, it might be hard. But on our speed reviews, we can get the main essential parts, and that's what's good about them. Well, we still have another whole column. Let's read the last column on page 39. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All of the guidelines and imperatives for the seven behaviors are illustrated through compelling, often personal stories. In the chapter on service leadership, for example, Morgan describes a tough Marine Corps captain she encountered in a six-month infantry course called the Basic School, TBS. The captain, who called himself Coca-Cola because he was the real thing, terrified the recruits in the course, Morgan included. When her grandmother died, however, Morgan was astounded by Coca-Cola's compassion. Just go home and stay home and come back when you're ready. And quick action, immediately reserving tickets and a driver to take her to the airport and explaining the situation to her training officer. As Morgan explains, Coca-Cola may have spent 30 minutes helping her that day, but those 30 minutes helped produce her lifelong loyalty and commitment to the Corps. Spark is filled with stories of such leaders and will inspire readers to follow the guidelines in the book and aspire to become Sparks themselves.
Well, now this says here that all of the guidelines that we've given and these important things for the seven behaviors are illustrated through, in this book, through very moving, something is compelling, is very moving, and personal stories. And that's always good. People like personal stories, don't they?
They do. And it's, you know, it's one thing to listen to an idea and identify that it's a good idea, but it's another thing altogether to listen to a story of how that idea has really affected and impacted someone in order to really make it very believable and understandable.
So they have this one chapter here on the service leadership, and Morgan describes how she encountered this course, this in her infantry course, a basic school course. And what did she say about that?
Well, she tells us from the experience with the captain that the captain in the Marine Corps, who called himself Coca-Cola.
That's funny.
Coca-Cola. Yeah, so obviously that was his nickname.
Yeah.
Maybe his siblings had called him that growing up, who knows, because he was the real thing.
Mm-hmm. That's what Coca-Cola says, I'm the real thing,
yeah,
right?
Terrified the recruits in the course, Morgan included. So when you're terrified, it usually means this person isn't very approachable, and I don't think I'm going to approach them.
Doesn't that happen a lot in the Marines and the Army? They try to be really strict to help kids grow up. Have you ever been in the Army, any of you guys?
No, I haven't.
Any service review?
No, so I'm a little bit of an exception. My family was all military. I actually looked to go into the Air Force, but because I have asthma, it disqualified me.
Because anybody that's been in that knows that they're pretty tough on them.
Well, my father was in the Marine Corps,
yeah,
and he also can be very disciplinarian sometimes.
Right, yeah. Well, that's true, because if your father was in the military, sometimes they think the kids need a little of that. You know?
Well, you know, I think my kids sometimes thought I was a sergeant major, so. I know there's military in my background.
But, you know, they do that for some reasons there. But this is kind of an interesting story because this person then seemed to be really, really, you know, scary. They were terrified. And then what happened next?
Sure. So Coca-Cola kind of, despite having this kind of intimidation or presence, he actually exercised compassion and spent time with Morgan during a crisis.
Yeah, what happened?
So Morgan was really astounded or very, very surprised that Coca-Cola was so compassionate by saying that when her grandmother died that she could just go home and stay and come back when she was ready.
And I love the action he takes, okay? The action is immediately reserving tickets and a driver to take her to the airport and explaining the situation to her training officer.
Now, don't you think that was a big surprise?
That was. And you know what, Doris? It kind of reminded me of you because you try to help people make things go smoother when they have a family crisis.
But I hope I'm not too hard on you.
No,
at the beginning.
No, you're not. But you know what? Doesn't that show wonderful character?
Right.
Don't you want to be loyal to a person like
that?
Well,
that's true. Sure. You have to help.
Of course you do.
Right. And people do appreciate that. But leaders need to do that, not just say, yes, you can go home. How are you going to go home? How are you going to get there?
How
are you
how can I help you in your grief? This
right.
is a way I can help you
this
in your
is
grief.
So, and Morgan explained this. It says, Coca-Cola, you know, maybe just spend a few times helping her. But what did that help produce in her?
Well, this helped her produce a lifelong loyalty and commitment to the Corps. So mm-hmm. not just to her captain, Coca-Cola, but also to the Marine Corps itself as an organization that is part of showing this sort of service leadership that has really made a sense of mm-hmm. lifelong loyalty for her.
Actually, I could say, even though the Marines are hard on you, they toughen you up, but they take care of you. And so that made the strong impression, and that's important, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. I know a personal story about this with someone in the Air Force and Canadian military, and I tell you, it just makes me respect the Canadian military, mm-hmm. Air Force,
you know,
so much because they've got behind helping one of their own.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and this inspires people to follow the guidelines of this book, and they themselves will aspire to or try, they'll work at becoming sparks. You read about these other people, and you say, I want to be like that. And that's very important. This is why a lot of us like to read things even in the Bible, because in the Bible there's all kinds of things about being kind to each other and loving one another. And then we say, wow, that's what Jesus did. I want to do that too.
Sure.
And that inspires us, don't you think so?
Exactly.
Because we have to have something that gives us a spark. And I think we can find a lot of that just by reading all the things in the Bible. Don't you think so?
Right. All of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have this Spark book, Doris? Because I'd like to borrow it.
Well, we have the review of the book.
Yeah.
But remember that these are important things in your life, and you can check them out. But all of us know that we are here for a reason, to make a difference in the world, not just for ourselves.
I have to say, I also really appreciate the speed reviews here in advance, because it does give us the really important information for good books out there, but then it also inspires us in order to go follow up on that. And obviously, I think this could be a really good work for myself, so the next time I see it, I'll be like, oh, I remember, that's what we talked about in the speed review.
Yeah.
I should go and check that out further.
Well, you know, some of the business things we have, people have gone to get their master's degree, and they studied the books. They said, hey, that's what we studied in advance. So you're getting an advanced education.
There you go.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And you know,
condensed.
Like, yeah.
Right?
And like Josh says, this speed review, it's like a book recommendation to me. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And how did you like today's program?
Yeah, I certainly couldn't speak for all the students, but even as a teacher, I feel like I learned so much from the article and all that it provided.
And Pauline, while you're in college and all, there's a lot of things you can learn from this. Don't you think these are inspiring lessons?
These are very inspiring indeed.
So thanks for being us here with all of us and all of you out there. And remember that we can all make a difference. And we can become successful in our life as a successful person, whatever we do. So thanks for being with us through the lesson, and have a good life ahead, and keep on, and don't give up. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.